This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Pun Intended Podcast, a Dynasty Fantasy Basketball podcast and a Sports Ethos production. As always, I am your host, Mark C., the Dynasty leader over at Sports Ethos. You can find me at MacAttack145 on Twitter and my writings and rankings over at SportsEthos.com. And today, we're going to, again, continue our Prospect Deep Dive series as we've been doing for about the past 2 months now. And we're not just going to talk about two prospects today. No, we're going to dive into three prospects and three different centers at that. Again, a little bit of a theme here. And they're all a little bit different and with pretty unique differences and nuances that I think will really encapsulate the direction that NBA teams go with their centers. With that being said, let's dive into the first of these center prospects. And that is Yves Missi, freshman out of Baylor. He's about a little under 6'11", 6'10", and 3/4", with a 7'2 wingspan, so maybe a slightly undersized at the NBA level, but I mean, he's still plenty big enough and can play the center fairly easily and should play the center, and about 230 pounds, so he's pretty built for that size as well. He's coming in at a draft age of a little over 20, so he's one of these older freshmen, so we have to keep that in mind a little bit when we hear freshmen. Okay, he's a little bit on that older side still. We kind of touched on that with Jared McCain versus Bub Carrington last week, or Carlton Carrington. So just keep in mind he's not, you know, one of those 19 freshmen. He's going to be 20 his first year in the league. And we'll touch on his offensive side of the game, which does need a little bit of work for Missi. The first thing that pops out, though, is that he goes up strong for lobs and can really get up there in terms of verticality with a good leaping ability. He's going to be a vertical threat and spacer and can really add that element to, I guess, to the floor of whatever team he's on. I think we've seen that in Dallas where they acquired two vertical threats in Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively II. And that was just a boon to Luka and Kyrie, just being able to throw the lobs up high and utilize that extra space on the court. It's almost, you know, sometimes we can think of the court as this 2D plane. It's played in 3D, played in three dimensions. And so being able to get up high and allow that extra threat, Missi's going to be able to do that at the NBA level. I also really loved how he attacked the offensive glass hard and allowed for plenty of putback attempts and just easy rim looks and extra possessions for his team. Now, his touch on these can be improved. He was about 61.4% field goal percentage. So, I mean, that's still very strong. It's not super elite. Still a strong metric, but some of the touch on those putbacks are a little shaky. But he did have a 14.6% offensive rebound percent rate, which is really strong, and we love seeing those numbers. We also love, I mean, NBA teams love seeing centers who can just get extra possessions for their team. And I think Yves Missi is going to be really strong at that. In terms of his finishing, I mentioned his touch was could be improved a little bit, but I thought he finished fairly well through contact. He averaged nearly 8 free throw attempts per 75 possessions, which is a pretty hefty number. You're getting up there to a lot of the big names when you get into that range. Now, do be warned, though. He only shot about 61.6% from the line, so that's going to need improvement if, I don't want to say to be used as a weapon, but for us to feel good about that from a fantasy's perspective. Because if he's getting that many attempts, but not hitting them at a high enough rate, we probably not going to love that ultimately. It'll be good for his points. That allows for a good points baseline, but he may sink your free throw percentage a little more than you would want. Getting into some of the self-creation aspect, it's not really there at the moment. His post-game is rather simplistic. It's mainly him trying to bully ball down the post defender and just kind of shoot over him with some not really structured hook shot or anything like that. That being said, at the NBA level, the post-up game is pretty much evaporating to only the best of the best just because of how you have to be so efficient on those. So I'm not expecting that to be a part of his game, but it does take away some of what he can bring on the offensive end. In adding to his self-creation, he does try some stuff with the handles, but it's still a mixed bag currently, and he's definitely not too much of a self-creator either. That being said, he did average about 13.1 field goal attempts per 75 possessions with a 21.8% usage, which is not too bad considering he's mainly just a play finisher and a putback player on those offensive boards we talked about. He averaged about 14 points per 75 possessions, which again, for his player type, is not actually too bad. So I think, you know, he's not going to be one of these players who's just there for defense and there to clean up boards like a Mitchell Robinson. He's going to do a little bit more of that, and I think can give you a little bit more of that points floor. Not that we always look for that in centers from fantasy, but we still, you like your centers to not be too negative in that category. Talked about some of his dribbles and his errant passes. There are a lot of just too many turnovers on tape that made me ask, why? What are you trying to do here? What's the point of this? And just trying to do too much. I do like that he tried to be involved in that and did try to explore his limits a little bit. And so maybe he can do more than just some simple handoffs or layoffs up around the perimeter. And that being said, I didn't hate all his dribble attempts that he tried to do when attacking, you know, from up top down to the rim. It was just a very mixed bag. And I lean towards it's currently negative. I don't think NBA teams are going to ask him to do that. But maybe it's something he works on, can do once or twice a game, just to help round out his game a little bit more on the offensive side. In terms of his turnovers, had about an 11.7% turnover rate, about 2.25 turnovers per 75 possessions, which, all being said, really isn't too bad. I do think he can work on his coordination and footwork in general. He didn't really have much of a Euro step, kind of just barrels into people when running down the lane or receiving the ball in the short roll, which, again, we talked about his vertical threat in the pick and roll game and the lob game. That's going to be good. That should be good from day one. However, receiving the ball in the short roll, that needs some work and is going to need some improvement for that to be at an acceptable baseline level. And really, in the short roll, there was very few and very sparse attempts there that looked great, and just even reps in general. Maybe it could develop into something, but I didn't really see great vision from him inherently in that game, and to be able to do something off that short roll, whether that even be drive to the paint with just one power dribble, or kick it around outside along the perimeter or in the opposite corner, which is something we see some of these more versatile centers do in the pick and roll game. And I put some numbers on that, and I think this really paints just how underdeveloped his passing game is as a whole. He had an assist percentage of 3.4%. That is low, low, low. And only averaged about 0.75 assists per 75 possessions. That is nothing. We are not really seeing assists from him. And I'm hoping he can flesh that out, but really that's going to limit him a good amount on the offensive side of the game. In terms of his screening, I think he was a pretty decent and willing screen setter. I thought sometimes he can slip a little too early out of those screening actions, though, and not really help his guard get that extra advantage, which is usually the point of a screen in the first place. But the bones are there, the roots are there. I think he's going to be a pretty decent screen setter. He has enough mobility to, you know, change the angle of the screens or adjust that. And I think with some extra coaching and some just extra development, he's going to be a positive screen setter in due time. Let's get to the defensive side of the ball for Yves Miesi, which is really where he stands out, and I think helps encapsulate the idea of this versatility that you want from your big at the NBA game. We already touched on his size. Again, I'll say the numbers again. He's about a little under 6'11 with a 7'2 wingspan, so maybe a little smaller than your prototypical NBA big, but he still has plenty of size with his leaping ability and his general athleticism. Also thought he has good lateral mobility for his size, and he just moves well on the court. I feel okay about him in a switch. As a fairly fluid athlete, I don't feel as good as someone such as Alex Saar, but I think he's survivable in a switch, and you'll be able to incorporate that in your defensive schemes with Misi as your center. I also thought he covers a really good amount of ground. I was actually listening to a recent mock draft by Sam Fassini over on the Game Theory pod, and he mentioned the term ground coverage, and I just really like that in terms of talking about these defensive centers or these defensive building blocks that you build around. And I think Yves Misi has really good ground coverage in his game, which I love. I love how much space he's able to occupy, whether it be in the pick and roll, whether it be as a weak side, coming across the paint to contest the shot. He has that mobility and can really just fill up lights, fill up space on the court, and be a deterrent in that regard. And I thought guarding the pick and roll, he had a really good cat and mouse game where, you know, if he had to play a little bit of a drop, he could kind of play both the roll man and the ball handler a little bit to deter that mid-range pull-up while also deterring the lob, which is a pretty advanced thing to do for someone of his age and someone having only played 1 year at the college level. That's probably enough about his general defense, and let's go to what you probably care about from a fan perspective, and that's going to be his blocks. I thought his general blocking and testing game was a little inconsistent. His form was a little inconsistent. And I did think Yves Misi sometimes appeared to be more of one of those centers who hunts blocks. And, you know, what I mean by that is someone who is leaping when maybe the block isn't there, leaving their feet, going for these emphatic highlight reel swats that we love seeing. I love seeing those on SportsCenter Top 10 or whatever. But isn't necessarily indicative of someone who is a great rim protector, because the goal isn't to block the shot. It's to get a good contest off and make the offensive player change their angle or just feel uncomfortable while taking that shot. But Misi was, it was a little bit of a mixed bag, but I lean towards more him being positive as a rim deterrent. I thought he had pretty good recovery, even with kind of that more hunting block style, and he possessed typically good timing instincts when he chose to leave his feet. It does need to be more polished, but it is generally more positive than negative. He had a block percentage of 7.3% and averaged 2.9 blocks per 75 possessions. Both strong metrics, not at the highest end, but still strong enough to believe we have some confidence in them. And as I mentioned earlier, I think he has some shades of holding his ground, staying more stout, and being more of that rim deterrent than a shot block hunter. So I think he'll develop in time to be a positive rim protector and one that can be good for fantasy as well while maintaining those blocks. Now, I do have some issues with how this hunting blocks tendency affects the rest of his game. If you are leaving your feet to hunt blocks, even if it's not really a good chance you're going to get there, it's really hard to recover on the defensive glass and get yourself in position there. And I thought he was actually not necessarily a poor defensive rebounder, but he wasn't as strong as you would like. And I think it was more because he was hunting blocks, and I thought he had poor fundamentals in that regard. Because he left the ground a lot, he just couldn't make that follow-up play. And that might be asking a lot of him. That might be something that, you know, only the top-level centers do. But that's how I'm going to look at him and say that his defensive rebounding does need to improve. He had a 16.4% defensive rebounding rate, and then a 15.5 total rebounding rate, which is lower than some of the guards we talked about even last week. 15.5% total rebounding rate as a big man isn't actually all that great. Now, he did average 11 boards for 75 possessions. Part of that's going to come from his offensive rebounding that we mentioned earlier. But it's something that I think is going to need to clean up and be more polished just in terms of that hunting block tendency to be able to be a positive defensive rebounder and then not give up those extra offensive possessions that we talked about that Misi does for his team on the offensive glass. I also thought a lot of his aggressive tendencies led to bad and unnecessary fouls. And this wasn't just him being aggressive in his shot blocking. It also showed when he has his hands in the cookie jar, reaching down low, trying to swipe the ball out of guards' dribbles or handles. This was him running into the shooter, closing out too hard, poor and lazing screening angles. He averaged 4.7 fouls per 75 possessions, which, I mean, it's not bad, but it's not where you like that to be. And that was part of the reason he only averaged 22.9 minutes per game. So that somewhat fuzzies the per 75 possessions I've been mentioning and those rate stats, because okay, if he's only playing 23 minutes, he can probably put a little bit more energy in those possessions, and it's going to make the per possession stats look a little nicer than they may actually be. So just a word of warning there, when you're looking at Yves Misi and his stats and his stat set, just keep that in mind that the minutes were a little lower than some other prospects if you're doing a one-to-one comparison. It may not be, even using per possession stats, which I like to use when looking at prospects, it may not be fully, you know, oranges, maybe more oranges to lemon types. And I mentioned his shooting touch that he lacked just to get into wrap up the offensive game and kind of all these bullet points. He has a poor free throw percentage and no three-point shot. And when I say no, I mean none. Literally 0 three-point shots on the year. Again, probably hindering some of the offensive versatility that we see from centers in the NBA game today. So in the get to a summary of Yves Misi, he's your classic rim-running athletic center type. I think he should enter the NBA as a solid vertical threat immediately and bring solid energy to the offensive glass, and that's probably where he's going to make his positive contributions early on in his career. As with many centers of his age and profile, he does need to further refine the art of rim deterrence and honing his energy in a positive manner to avoid some of those fouls and negative plays. I think Misi generally has good flashes of rim protection, but further development will help him round out the consistency in terms of not hunting blocks, as we mentioned a lot, and lowering that foul rate. Misi is a player I can see developing into a solid defensive center option with solid play finishing, which your mileage may vary on that archetype. And the likelihood of Misi reaching that ceiling, your mileage may vary if he's going to become a starter level or maybe more of a rotation level, depending. I think it's going to hinge on the development of the defense and the every play consistency. So I think that's where his minutes are going to come down to, his development and those key areas, and can he work on his foul rate. With that being said, I think Misi overall will be good to strong in boards, field goal percentage, and blocks. I think his points can be average given those putback opportunities and the general rim finishing and lob that he's going to provide for the team that drafts him. We didn't talk too much about his steals, and there were some in his game film, but nothing too major. He had about a 1.5% steal rate, and that translates to 1.1 per 75 possessions. So, you know, that's some steals, but it's not a major part of his game. His free throw percentage is probably going to ding you a bit here with that volume we talked about earlier and the amount of putbacks and fouls he's going to rack up from the opposite team. His turnovers may be a little bit more than you like, but I don't think he's going to be involved too much in the short roll, so probably nothing major there, even for the center position. And his assists and threes, I think both are going to be pretty minimal to non-existent. You're not going to be drafting Misi to your fantasy squads expecting that to be a positive contribution. So I think this makes Yves Misi basically your pretty prototypical fantasy center who will give you some boards, field goal percentage, and blocks, and some other things here and there. And I know people have varying opinions of how useful a player that is. I think he can see some opportunity early in his career to contribute, and you know, could even be a standard league redraft guy that you stream in depending on who's in front of him. But I'm not sure if he'll develop fully into the starter, but if he does, yeah, he's going to, I think, be a solid starting center for fantasy for a good amount of time. It's just there's a little bit of a range there. And again, you're probably only getting those three stats in boards, field goal percentage, and blocks from Yves Misi.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The next center we're going to discuss is pretty different from Yves-Missi, and that is Zach Edey. And you've probably heard this name before. I'm sure you have. He was a senior out of Purdue, one of the top college basketball players for the past two seasons. And he is, I mean, we can't talk about Edey without talking about just how big he is on the court. He's nearly 7'4", nearly 7'11 wingspan, 300 pounds, and is just very physically imposing on the court with that massive size. That does, it is a little bit of a double-edged sword, and we'll get into the defense side of the ball for sure, because that's going to be such an important topic when we discuss Zach Edey. But first, we'll discuss what makes him such a good prospect, and that is his offensive side of the game, and specifically his post game. He has very clean footwork in the post. He's very methodical, very few travels, utilizes drop sets extremely well. And these numbers are probably going to just shock you when I say them. Average 34.7 points per 75 possessions on 33.4% usage, with 62.3% field goal percentage. That is insane scoring, great usage, just great everything when you hear those numbers. I do think his post-move repertoire, it isn't the most dynamic. Advanced crafty, I'm not sure the right word for it. Maybe fluid is the right term there, but I don't think that's fully needed with his size. It probably does need to flesh out a little bit more against NBA athletes, as he won't be able to rely on his size as often as he did in college. But, I mean, he has a very strong hook shots, good power dribbles toward the rim. I do think he doesn't have much in terms of a mid-range post game, though, with very little turnarounds or touch shots, and I think it's very likely he ever develops an outside jumper, given the lack of touch that we see from him. That being said, I think he's still going to be able to be one of the biggest centers in the league, and with the skills he already has in the post game, I think he is going to be able to take advantage not just of mismatches, but also against general NBA centers. I do think Edey shields the ball very well when going up, and his hands and ball security are fairly reliable traits. I think the ball is pretty sticky with him. He had about a 10.8% turnover rate, which is a pretty strong number considering the usage he had. In general, I think he did have a good sense of where defenders were coming from, although he was a little susceptible to pesky defenders coming in late and either swiping the ball or getting up and blocking his shots. But he did improve in his ability to kick it out of the post and find where the doubles were coming from. He had an assist percentage of about 14.6, so his passing is there some. That's about 2.8 assists per 75 possessions, which isn't a whole lot, but it's something. And he has enough ability where if he does get doubled in the post, he can find the open man well enough. His passing range can improve a little bit. Right now, he kind of just keeps the ball high and more passes it around. And I mean, with his size, it looks like he's just kind of batting a volleyball around. But with his height and his reach, I mean, that may be all he needs to be able to be a good passer in the post. And it was much improved from previous season in terms of his touch on the pass, finding cutters coming down the lane, or players in the arc from the post. So it definitely has improved over the seasons, and you like seeing him improve in that area. Edey was also probably one of the most fouled players in the college level as teams have struggled to stop him. Whether that was Edie fighting hard on the offensive glass or posting up or going up for shots. I'm pretty sure I watched Edie take more free throw line shoots than actual in-game footage just because how often he was at the line. Per 75 possessions, he averaged 11 free throw makes out of 15.4 attempts, which is a crazy high volume. That was double what Misi's rate was that we just discussed earlier. And that was, he shot about 71.1% on those free throws. So, it's not a great number. And I think what's a little worrying is that free throw percentage of 71% was fairly consistent across his college career. So I'm not fully sure how much we should expect that to improve. I'm sure it will improve a little bit and somewhat, but if he is getting that volume, then the free throw percentage is going to hurt a bit. Again, we touched on free throw percentage earlier. That volume of free throws will help your points floor, will help those scoring numbers some. But in terms of just the free throw percentage category, it's unlikely ED is going to be a positive there and will be a decent sink most likely. One of the issues, though, with Zach Edey on offense is what else does he bring on offense besides his post play and his screen setting and his offensive rebounding, which those are three pretty big aspects, but he's not really too versatile. Do you want him running high post actions or handoff options? I don't think I do. I don't think he's mobile enough or dynamic enough to do that too often. And I think if you're going to have Zach Edey in your rotation and when he's on the court, you're going to have to play through him for him to be well utilized. If not, I don't fully understand why he's going to be on the court. Which honestly is good for fantasy. If I'm saying that if Edey's playing, he's going to see usage because he has to, because that's the only way I think you can play through him and that how he will be successful at the NBA level, that's good for fantasy. Now, maybe bad for his minutes outlook because I don't, and spoiler, when we get into his defense, I don't think Edey will be good enough to build a team around, an identity around, but I think you can have him in rotation minutes. So, is he going to be someone who tops out at 15, 20 minutes per game? That's kind of my prediction, but can he be extremely productive in those minutes? Also, yes. So I think that makes Edey a very interesting dynasty prospect and fantasy prospect in that regard. Okay, we touched on what makes him so good at offense, but we have a little bit more to talk about actually, and that he utilizes his size really well in the rebounding ox and the rebounding aspect. Just being able to, if you're that big, he's going to be able to get in the paint and get plenty of offensive boards and defensive rebounds as well. And I think he does use his frame to box out and position well. He had about a 22% total rebounding rate and 16.7 rebounds per 75 possessions. So pretty strong metrics there. And I think his screening game was pretty good as well. His screens occupy a ton of space on the court. And I thought he was actually pretty good at repositioning for rescreens as well. So giving his guards the best chance to utilize the screen and just creating the best advantage. So I like both of those aspects of his game. And that gives him a little bit more versatility on that offensive side. But again, we're not going to see much spacing here. We're not going to see threes. He's not really going to play at the perimeter too much. You're going to have to play through him on the post. I also think it's good to mention that he has fairly good stamina and conditioning for his size. He's obviously a little lumbering and a little slow, but he did play 32 minutes per game last season and looked pretty effective throughout those minutes. It didn't look like he was really dragging too much. Considering how often he's banging down low and fighting for position, I actually like seeing that. And if he is able to play more minutes, and I'm maybe lower on his upside, and I'm wrong there, I think he does have the ability to ramp those minutes and with that stamina, with that conditioning. Okay, we touched enough on the offensive game. Now we're going to get into the defensive tape here. And this is where people, I think, are really conflicted with Zach Edey. We'll start with the positives before getting into the negatives with him. First, again, we mentioned his size. His size on defense is just going to be an inherent deterrent for smaller players around the rim. And he'll just get some blocks that way with just either players trying to challenge him when they shouldn't or him just occupying so much space on the defensive court. Shiftier rim finishers will navigate around him though, but if players are just attacking him normally, he is so huge, he's going to get some blocks. He had a 6.9 block rate last year, which was good for about 2.9 blocks per 75 possessions, which are both decent numbers. I wouldn't call him a natural shot blocker, but he's going to just accumulate blocks because of his size. All right, now let's get into the negatives on defense here. First thing, he can only play drop coverage, and he may even be a little sketchy in that coverage. He doesn't have great lateral mobility, can be caught up pretty easily on even decently quick change of motions from guards, and can rarely play up to the level or really at the arc on defense. And yeah, this is, he has to play in a drop. There's really no other defensive coverage he can play. So if you're putting him in there, you only have one defensive scheme you can play. And I don't even know how effective that defensive scheme will be. You're going to need the right personnel around him in that regard. And I think something, when I hear people talk about his defense and say ED was actually fine at the college level, I do agree with that, actually. I think ED was fine at the college level. However, fine at the college level is not at all comparable to even survivable in the NBA as a big. And that's mainly due to just offensive players are going to be better in the NBA than they are at college. There are tons of NBA guards who are plenty adequate pulling up in the mid-range, being quicker, being more agile, being shiftier at the rim than there are in college. And I think ED is going to struggle with all those aspects that I just talked about defending. I think any decent pull-up jump shooter is going to take advantage of him in a drop coverage. And I think ED, I'm going to make a little bit of a hockey analogy here. There are defensemen who are really good offensive skill players, actually, but they're not good defensively. And so they have to play a bit of a sheltered role where they can't play a huge amount of minutes, but when the coaches utilize them properly and for spot minutes here or there and take advantage of their offensive skills, they do shine in those minutes they play. And so I was talking earlier about how, you know, I don't think ED can be a starter, but if he plays those rotation minutes and the coaches utilize him well and kind of shelter him almost, I think he's actually going to be very productive in those minutes and will look good in those minutes. And for defense, I think he's going to have to be protected a little bit. And I think it will take the right NBA coach to be aware of that and utilize him properly. On defense, he spends a majority of time around the paint on defense, and defenders are going to have to cover him. Cover for him, rather. We talked about Yves Missi in terms of the great ground coverage he has. ED does not have good ground coverage. He kind of hangs around the paint a lot, and I think this limits what you can do defensively with those schemes. Some may point to low fouls, which is good. He only averaged 1.9 per game, and some might say that's a measure of good defense. For me, though, watching the game film, that was more of a measure of how much lack of contests he actually had, and ED avoiding fouling situations because he was aware of just how much of a star he was for his team and how integral he was. He couldn't afford to pick up lazy fouls or fouls that weren't really worth it in the moment. So that's basically ED on defense. I think he's pretty limited in that regard, but can get some stuff for fantasy. So getting into a summary of him here, Zach ED is a humongous basketball player, which comes with its own strengths and weaknesses. He does pair his size well with enough post-ball skills to be a trustworthy post-up option on offense. In addition, he will be a natural deterrent around the basket when stationary, and he'll gobble up boards everywhere on the offensive and the defensive glass. However, he does lack mobility, change of direction ability, and touch on a shot. All elements that I think will most likely cap what his NBA minutes can be. ED can produce well in a rotation role. I think very well in a rotation role, in fact. But I think it's doubtful his strengths will be enough for an NBA team to invest team building and roster building their lineups around him, essentially. So for fantasy, This does mean I think he'll be a strong permanent player, but most likely capped in the amount of minutes he can't see. I think he'll be strong in boards. And because a team will need to utilize him when he's in and give him usage, I think he'll actually have good points and good field goal percentage for your team. The free throw percentage with that volume will hurt some, but that will also, you'll get some points out there as well. I think you can actually see some assists and some blocks from Zach Edey. However, you're going to get little steals, no threes at all, and you might get a few turnovers, but nothing worrying. So for Zach Edey, I think there's going to be better upside options. I think Zach Edey will have moments, I think, where he will shine in his career. And you'll be happy you have him for those weeks. But I think generally he's not going to be a consistent or that consistent of an option in terms of being like a top 100 player, for instance. It may hover more in that 100 to 200 range with those strengths and boards, points, rebounds, and focal percentage we've talked about, and reliable enough there, but you know, nothing to suspect spectacular ultimately. And I think there is an ultimate lack of upside in Zach Edey. The third center prospect.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're going to talk about today is Kal-El Ware, sophomore out of Indiana. He's has good size for a center, close to 7 foot with a 7'5 wingspan and about 230 pounds. So good size there. You love seeing that. And he has pretty good strength as well. He's draft age, will be a little over 20 entering the draft. So even though he's a sophomore, he's still actually a little bit on the younger side. He's basically the same age as Yves Misi, who we discussed at the top of the show. Now, something important to note, you might have heard of Kal-El Ware last year in the draft. He had a bit of a disappointing freshman year at Oregon after being a 5-star high school recruit, and he transferred to Indiana, where I think he's built his prospect status back up a little bit. Talking about his offensive game, he has pretty decent leaping ability, not superb, but pretty strong, with a good height and wingspan, so he's going to be enough of a vertical threat there and provide that element in the log game for whatever passers he's playing with. I do think his finishing touch and craft is a little weaker than what we like to see. He was, from the two-point percentage, his two-point focal percentage was 60.9%, which is fine. It's not wow, and I think that can improve a little bit. I didn't really like how he navigated around players in the paint and just kind of went in there and threw his arms up, hoping the shot would go in. I think he can be more improved there, and I'm hoping he develops a little bit more craft around the rim in time. His post-game, it's fairly rudimentary, probably only a mismatch tool if that. He has some shades of a bit of a turnaround jumper game, but it's very inconsistent whether it goes in or not. And you know, we have a lot of not shooters misses there where, oh, it maybe rimmed out or circled around the rim. It was either more like it went in or it was banked in or it clanked off the backboard somewhere. So it's definitely inconsistent. I don't really think it's going to be worth NBA teams investing in him posting up unless it's on a mismatch. I think he is a pretty good screener, knows to get a body on a man to just allow his guards, whoever's handling the ball, that little extra space. So I do like that element of his offensive game. I think what it will be encouraging for Khalil Ware from a fantasy standpoint is that he has a little bit of shooting element to his game. And anytime we hear big with shooting ability, we always think unicorn, that standing C stat set. Oh, we can provide threes too. We love that. But I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit on the hype of Ware having a reliable three-point shot. And really, the volume is a concern for me here. He shot 42.5% this past year. That's from deep, and that's good. You're going to hear that, and you think 42.5%, that's really good. But it was only on 40 total attempts. So I'm actually going to use his full college sample now to talk about his three-point shooting. 95 total threes, 33.7%. His previous season at Baylor, his sophomore year, 1.8 attempts from deep per 75 possessions. That's really not that good. That is not indicative of someone who is confident that they're a three-point shooting player, whether that was from Ware himself or the team telling him, hey, you're a good shooter. I'm going to go back and correct myself. I said his sophomore out of Indiana, so apologies on that. So I'm not sure if Indiana was telling him, hey, we know you like this shot, but hold off unless you're really wide open. It's a little tough to say. His freshman year at Oregon, he did average 4.5 attempts from deep for 75 possessions, which that's encouraging. That's pretty encouraging there. And honestly, his shooting stroke looks fairly smooth. I do think he can provide some popability and time, and I think it will be enough of an element in this game that NBA teams will want to utilize it, and we can see some threes from a fantasy perspective. Now, a free throw percentage of 66% on 200 total college attempts doesn't exactly inspire faith that his three-point shooting is too legit. The most important indicators for good three-point shooting at the NBA level is actually free throw percentage and three-point attempts. So I don't know if I should fully buy into it. I think it will be there sometimes, but it might be in the Jonas Valanciunas territory where he's a quote-unquote spacing threat when he takes, you know, one a game, slow release. So it pops up here and there, but I think it will be better than that, but how much better? I'm not confident enough to say it's a huge part of his fantasy game, really. Talking about his passing, I think he did have some very basic passing elements that I liked. He did miss some obvious snappy ones in the short roll, but there are a lot of encouraging flashes and spurts that show up here and there that I'm hoping he can tap into more at the NBA level. I thought he had pretty good connectivity, which I love saying that. I think it's super important to get the ball and make those quick decisions. And that's really important, I think, to help churn the advantage and keep that advantage going. And I think he even had some glimpses of long hit-aheads in transition. He did only average 2 assists per 75 possessions, up to a 9.9 assist rate last year. So it's not, you know, it's not great. It's not, you know, Zach Edey, who we just discussed previously. But it's not nothing. And there's enough there. I'm hoping he can tap into that and then add that short roll diversity to become a bit more of a weapon. Maybe not a weapon there, but at least a tool to use and add that extra element in the pick and roll game. Let's get into his defense now. Because as we're centers, defense is such an important part of their game and seeing minutes at the NBA level. I thought Ware was pretty disciplined in his contest. I thought he got his arms up well to affect the shot while staying stout a good amount of the time. In comparison to Yves Misi, who we discussed earlier, where Misi was jumping like crazy for blocks, I mean, Ware definitely does have that in his defensive bag, but I thought he was generally more polished in his rim deterrence as a whole. He had a block percentage of 6.5%, about 2.5 per 75 possessions, so not super elite, but it's still pretty strong there. We like seeing those numbers. He did have some inconsistency with his shot block timing, but overall, I thought it was very positive. And he has a lot of, I think, a good mix of blocking elements as well as rim deterrence. And I like seeing that paired together because that's good for fantasy and good for him seeing minutes on the NBA court as a rim, as a defensive center option. About his cat-mouse game that we talked about earlier in the pick and roll, it does need a little refining, but it improved over the season to a good point to where he was finding that middle ground. And so I like seeing him be able to play that those more advanced items in the defensive center of game and show some good elements of that. Now, I wouldn't say his mobility is as great as other rangy centers, even in this prospect class. It's not bad. I think he can hang out on the perimeter in a pinch, but it's not something I would want baked into my defensive scheme as of now. So that slightly limits his defensive scheme versatility with Kal-El Ware. But I think it's fine enough, and maybe he improves on it to a point where, yeah, you can incorporate that and have a little bit more defensive versatility with him as your center option. He was sometimes blown by the perimeter or caught by quicker crossovers. I don't think he's very fluid in that regard. His hips don't shift as quickly. And that did actually lead to some really lazy ticky-tacking fouls by him where the guard would get by him, and instead of him trying to recover, he would just kind of lazily swipe in and pick up cheap fouls. Sometimes on the defensive end too, I couldn't tell if he had a lack of mobility or a lack of urgency. It was really hard to differentiate between that. So I couldn't fully tell if his hips weren't all that fluid or if he was just a little lazy in his positioning and getting down to defensive stance. And that was kind of a bit of his issue his freshman year at Oregon, and part of why he struggled so much and didn't really have a firm grasp on the center role there. There were reports of a bad motor, not showing up well on tape. And it does even show up on his tape at Indiana in his sophomore year a little bit, as I'm just talking about now. And I don't want to, without knowing a player, I don't want to just say, oh, he has energy and motor concerns, because I think it's hard to fully say that without knowing him or talking to him. There seemed to be a little lack of urgency on the tape. And honestly, there were some shades of DeAndre Ayton in that regard where I thought he could do more. Not that he was doing bad, but I thought he could do more. And I wish he would go a little harder than what it looked like. That showed up in his rebounding game for me as well. I thought he was too willing to cede position if it wasn't there initially, and wouldn't kind of fight for position or fight for boards. And I'm somewhat nitpicking on this a little bit. I mean, usually he uses a size well two board, but there's some variations in his rebounding play from game to game or even play to play. That isn't to say his rebounding is bad. He averaged 13.3 boards per 75 possessions, 17.5 total rebounding rate, which is okay, but that's not as high end as we would think of a player of his size. Talking a little bit more about his defensive game, I thought he was rather adept at deflection denying post entries. Now, I'm not sure how much that will be in play at the NBA level. We mentioned the post game is dwindling away. But he did have 0.8 steals per 75 possessions, 1.1 steal rate. Not fantastic in that regard, but maybe a pinch here or there. Rounding out some of his offensive game a little bit, I thought he tried some self-dribbling, either in transition or attacking downhill. But it was pretty little, didn't inspire much confidence. He did only have a 10.9% turnover rate on 22.9% usage as a big, and both those numbers are adequately fine and probably nothing to be too concerned about. So to summarize Kal-El Ware, he has your pretty prototypical big man skills, but enough encouraging glimpses to believe he could round into something more elevated than that. His size, paired with his athleticism, project to be a good starting base in the NBA that should allow for some easy rim looks and solid rim turns. He also flashed some ball skills as well, with the passing and the shooting flashes we mentioned earlier. I'm not sure if those will get to a point that we're super excited about or super soaked with, but I think he'll chip in some assists and threes. Now, there is some downside overall with the inconsistent effort on the tape, but if Kal-El Ware can shore up that aspect, I think he's a pretty good gamble to be a decent starting center with additional upside for NBA teams and for fantasy. So for fantasy, again, with a lot of these centers, he's going to be good in boards, good in field goal percentage, good in blocks. I think he'll be decent in points, We mentioned the 23% usage earlier. That's about 14.9 points per 75 possessions. So he should be able to chip in some points here and there and not be a complete negative in that category. I think he can chip in some threes and assists. Again, that's going to have to come with some development and a little bit of projection, but I think at least one of those will come. Probably, if I had to guess, I'd honestly say assists, but maybe both come, or maybe it's a little bit of threes and a little bit of assists. But I think he'll do enough there where he's not just a boards, field goal percentage, blocks player. His free throw percentage could be a little bit of a drain, as well as the lack of steals. And I mean, with bigs, those are normally two categories we're okay sacrificing when we put bigs in our lineups. And turnovers probably shouldn't be too much of a concern. So out of these three centers we discussed today, Misi, Edie, and Ware, I probably like Kalel Ware the most for fantasy because I think he's, I don't know if he's most likely to be a starter. I might lean towards Misi long term, but I think Ware can have the most diverse fantasy portfolio and skill set. So I think Ware might be a little bit more of a gamble than Misi, but I do like Kalel Ware and how he can produce for fantasy. With that said, that will do it for this episode of the Punt Intended podcast. We went in pretty deep on three center prospects. I expect them to be taken around the, probably not in the lottery, but mid to late first round. I think their landing spots are definitely going to matter. Edie is probably the one whose landing spot will matter the most. If Edie lands with a team who has a clear hole at backup center, or maybe even a clear hole at starting center, okay, then I'm going to be intrigued because we know he's going to get minutes. We know he's going to get usage. Especially if Edie is taken high, that means that team believes in him to be a starting center, or at least a very viable NBA player. And there he's going to get minutes if he's drafted high. It's just how the NBA works with entitlement minutes to prospects. If Edie gets drafted lower, though, that probably tells me that teams have less faith in him as a NBA option. Misi and Ware, I think they both can produce well enough in spurts that you should see some immediate returns in fantasy. It just then depends on the development if you're going to see some long-term upside with them. So yeah, those are the three prospects we got into today. And next week, we'll cover some more wings in the draft, as that will be probably our last deep dive for the NBA draft, which is just under 2 weeks away now. And with all the uncertainty, I am so excited for the draft to come out. I'm beginning to work on my rookie rankings, and once the draft is concluded, soon after, I'm going to drop my top 60 rookie rankings after that. So be on the lookout for that at sportsethos.com. You'll be able to get the full top 60 with an NBA Fantasy Pass subscription. With that, hopefully the NBA Finals are still going on, but they may not be. And if not, hey, get in the prospect scouting. See you next time.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.